Transparency is essential to FINRA's structure and operations. Today, I'm here with Marcia Asquith, FINRA's Executive Vice President for Board and External Relations, to share some of the actions FINRA is taking to improve transparency and engagement across the organization. From Washington, D.C., this is Josh Drobnik with FINRA Unscripted. Tell us about what you do here at FINRA.
Before I took on the external relations part of my current job, I was the corporate secretary working with the board of directors. So a very inside baseball role. I still have that job, but I also now have the groups that deal with stakeholders reporting to me. So corporate communications and government relations, which is where I started at the organization many years ago. Also, investor education and the foundation reports up to me, as does member relations and education.
One of the first things that we did, really upon you taking this role and really kicking off FINRA 360 in March, was we issued what we called a special notice on engagement. And it was very broad in scope. And what we were trying to do was to ask firms that we regulate, investors and other stakeholders, how they felt about the engagement initiatives. Why did we want to do that?
Well, you know, when Robert Cook came on board at the end of last year, he started on a listening tour. And his tour encompassed firms, other regulators, investors, and members of Congress. And he got a lot of input about what FINRA does well and where we could do better. We wanted to give people another opportunity to comment on the types of issues that he was hearing on his listening tour. And so we issued this special notice on engagement in March, and we asked folks a range of questions about FINRA's operations.
And we got a lot of responses.
And after we had gone through compiling the responses and seeing the topics that we formed a working group to go through and evaluate and discuss and really learn from the comments. And that process is still ongoing.
Tell us about how you've been able to start to comb through what the responses were and how we were going to address some of those.
Right. I have a great team that is helping with this project, and it's a fun project. We have great representation from across the organization. So not only are there individuals from groups that are in my purview, so I have somebody from corporate communications and government relations, as well as somebody from the corporate secretary's office who are working through these issues with, as well as somebody from member relations and education. But we also have help from the general counsel's office. We also have somebody from the FINRA 360 project management office is on our group to help coordinate because we are a part of that initiative as well.
Thought I'd pull out a letter or two and sort of read from them. And just to give this first one a little bit of context, one of the things that we've been doing for several years now after our board meetings, and we have five of them a year, is to do a video report where the CEO and the chairman talk a little bit about what happened at the board meeting. And we got a comment from Edward Jones, and it suggested that the videos, and I'll quote, provide additional context and insights as to board activities and rulemaking under consideration beyond published notifications. They also encouraged us to post more information about the Board of Governors, writing, and I'll quote again, we believe it would be reassuring to the investing public, member firms, and other stakeholders to see the diversity of backgrounds and the quality of qualifications of the Board of Governors. How have we sought to address those issues in recent months?
Well, we have had a board video after the board meetings for several years. Jack Brennan, our former chairman and former CEO Rick Ketchum, would do a video report after each meeting. And depending on the subject of the matter of the meeting, they might have another committee chair or someone else join them for those stand-up reports. But they didn't give a full flavor of everything that the board covered because of the format that that Rick and Jack were covering the entire report. So what we've done is we've changed the format so that we're hearing from board committee chairs. We're hearing from board members who have particular expertise on a rulemaking or on a subject that's been under consideration by the board. We are talking more to senior executives and including that in the recap, because a lot of the work that gets considered at the board is put forward by the executive team. And so there's a lot of context and background that they can offer as well that our membership and the public is interested in. So that's one thing that we've done is change this video.
And you can see the first format. One that we've done.
Yes, Bill Hyman and Robert Cook and some Elise Walter, a board member, they're all in there. Changing the format has also given us the ability to provide more information.
If listeners want to go check out the first one that we did after the September board meeting, they can do that at www.finra.org. On the governance question, we've taken some steps too.
Right. And you'd asked me about that earlier. And one of the things that we got comment on was that it's not easy to figure out who is on the FINRA Board of Governors or who serves on FINRA advisory committees. We did have a list of board members on our website. It wasn't particularly highlighted or presented in a way that was easy to find. So in addition to adding the bios of our board members, we've also made it easier to find on the website. And then we've added more information about the advisory committees. FINRA, as part of our role as a self-regulator, we have numerous mechanisms for industry and investors and others to have input into our rule proposals and into our processes. And part of our challenge is getting those methods out to the stakeholders. So what we've done is we've put more information about our standing advisory committees on the website. We've given a description of what the committees do, and we're listing now who are on those committees. So, for instance, if you're a broker from Edward Jones and you have a particular interest in a rule proposal or an item, you can look at, say, the Financial Responsibility Committee or the Large Firm Committee, the Compliance Advisory Committee, and you can look and see who is on that committee, and chances are you probably know someone on that committee if you're involved in the industry, or somebody from your firm may be on that committee. And it's just another resource for the industry to learn about what is going on at FINRA.
Well, that's a good segue into my next question, and that had to do with a comment that came in from our two Midwest regional committees, and it touched on a number of areas, but one of their comments had to do with how we communicate around how members can join a committee. And they said they encouraged, and I'll quote again, FINRA to look for opportunities to enhance communication regarding how members can become advisory committee members, including how a member can express interest and possibly gain access to being on an advisory committee.
We're doing podcasts. And we are changing things on our website too, as well as in the first quarter, we're going to have an online capability for members of the public to submit interest in committees or in FINRA board service or in some way that they want to participate in FINRA's process, that they can submit their bio and their contact information and their areas of expertise to FINRA. And we will keep track of it that way as we develop new committees or as openings on committees arise. You know, one of the comments we got was that a lot of people serve on committees for a lifetime, right? That we don't have high turnover on some of the committees. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the areas that we're looking at, whether our advisory committees should have term limits, whether there should be a tenure, right? There's debate on both sides, right? You want someone who has the background and the expertise, and if they're a good committee member, it's a natural tendency to want them to stay to contribute to the process. But I think that we need to look at how we engage members and how we create opportunities for new ideas and new people to join the process.
I thought I'd just give you a chance to touch on some of the other general areas of feedback that we got. Were there any that really jumped out at you that you wanted to touch on?
We got a lot of comments about economic review of our rule proposals. Mm-hmm. And so that is something we've been working very closely with the Office of the Chief Economist to look at how FINRA can explain how the rules are put through this analysis in that office before they're proposed and also after. You know, FINRA has a retrospective rule review process. And so we got comments that people want to understand better how that process works. And so one thing that we've done is we are giving more of a roadmap of what rules are coming down the pike at the advisory committees, and so that people know what's in the queue. And we've also solicited comments on what rules the Office of the Chief Economist could look at retrospectively to see that our rules are working the way that they were intended. There's a lot of desire to have transparency around FINRA's finances. In December, when the board historically approves the budget, following that, we will be going out to our stakeholders with more information about that budget and the budget process. That's one of the ways that the engagement notice has really helped us. It's on not only do we have our work to do, but then we also need to be better about how we communicate what we've done and what we've decided and what the board has decided, how that gets communicated to the public, because that's something that we haven't historically always thought about.
There's a lot of comments came in that touch on areas that we're already doing.
Right. It's funny. We have a whole category of items that fall into that, where we haven't done a good job of communicating that we already do that. And so it has made us look at how we're communicating and how we push out information to the firms and to the public and how people expect to get information now.
Marcia Asquith, I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, visit us at finra.org/podcasts and visit the page for this episode. If you have an idea for a future podcast, email us at finraunscripted@finra.org or reach out on social media. I'm Josh Drobnik, and this is FINRA Unscripted.